to be here this evening. So glad we have so many that have come back this evening. So glad that we have some visitors. Please don't leave without giving us the chance to say hello. No, I'm not playing on my phone. You saw me pull it out. Didn't want you to think I was playing on Facebook. Got my sermon outline. Couldn't get the printer to print the sermon outline. So, and we're waiting on the PowerPoint to go. But it is great to be here this evening. As we go to seek the old paths, if we turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, thus says the Lord, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Jeremiah was dealing with a belligerent people. God was ready to give them up into captivity, and he did. He did this for the good of the people. I like the imagery that Jeremiah is using as a traveler who was coming up to a fork in the road, and he had an option of which way to go. To go the old way, the tried and the true. We look to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When we make that tie together, what we see is the expectations that God has given to his people has always involved obedience toward his plan. We can look to Cain and Abel. We can look to Nadab and Abihu. We can even look ahead into the New Testament of people that left the truth. We look that Jesus is the same. The reference being that his expectations are always there, that we must be obedient regardless of the dispensation that people were under. So what we find is that we have a path maker. That path maker is God. God is the one who is able to establish the way that he would have us to go. He is the one that trimmed the hedges that made the way for us to walk. We look to Hebrews 13:8 as we just read. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he is the same forever. The plan that we have in New Testament Christianity will not change. What we have and have had for 2,000 years is the plan that we're to go by. No matter if there are a billion people that do it or if there is no one, the plan does not change. God created the path, and it's the old path that we must follow. In James chapter 1 and verse 17, we see that this path is a good path because every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. When we understand that we serve a God that is unmoving, that is unchanging, that the plans that he has established are the ones that will be the same, that will stay, we can trust in him. We can trust in him to know that if we're obedient to his plan, that he's not on a whim going to talk to someone with golden plates and come up with a new Egyptian language with a whole new rule for them to follow. That's not the type of God that we serve. Every good gift comes from God. The pathway that is established from the path maker is a good path for us to follow. Look to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8. The path maker, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. God, the creator of the universe, here before time, going to be here for all eternity, has the right to set the path. He created us in his image, and through the beauty of at least 40 different writers in 1,500 years, gave us the greatest love story ever told. God's love for us, God's plan for us, and a pathway so that we can be with him in eternity forever. In Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19, we see that this isn't just a New Testament thing where we're expected to walk in the right way. This is an expectation of God. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Our pathmaker is faithful. If God says something is going to happen, it's going to happen. Because our God is a God that keeps his promises. We have a path maker who has made a way for us to easily understand, for us to easily follow. with the weight of an amazing eternity. Every trial, every temptation that we endure is going to be worth fighting through to be with God forever. We have a planned path. Notice that there isn't an S on that. It is a planned path. A plan that was made from Genesis chapter 3, or was made so we can see it, Genesis 3, but was foretold before time. We look over to all these different signs. We can go out on the road. That's the Waffle House sign. Oh, I was looking up images and found that. It was like, hey, awful waffle. Gotta put that up there. But it's easy to get lost if we follow the wrong signs. Thus, if we're going to follow the path that God has established for us to follow, the path that the path maker has made, while others may come and try to create new paths, there may be shiny signs. We've got to follow the biblical signs. There are some today that will want us to follow emotionalism, postmodernism. They'll want us to have an ecumenical mindset of everybody is okay. Follow your own personal Jesus. All the different pathways lead to the same place. That's not true. All the different pathways lead to the same place. But it's not heaven. There is one pathway that leads to heaven. If we're going to look at the signs, here are a few signs for us to see. Salvation is through the blood. If you're going down the path and you see the sign that says this, you're going in the right direction. As Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22 says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There had to be a shedding of blood. In Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. We see that salvation was through the blood of bulls and goats for those who are under the old law, but for us, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 10:14, for by a single offering he has perfected all time those who are being sanctified. When we understand that we are saved through the blood, that coming in contact with the blood of Christ is the way to go down the right path, we're going to study the Scriptures to find how to go down that right path. Another sign that we see is a belief in Scriptures. There are some who will say, follow your heart. A denominational teacher on television once said, we need to stop using this and start using this. It's like, I kind of understand what she's saying, but this is a blood pump. All this is doing is circulating blood. I can't think with my heart. The heart that's talked about in the Bible is the mind. If we're going to follow our heart, we're going to have to follow Scripture to go down that right path. As 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 state, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. If we're going to follow the path, we've got to follow the standard. The path that has been set for us has been set with a word that is unchanging by an almighty path maker. We'll look to Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And while we are no longer bound by the old law, what we can find is an example, a schoolmaster, a tutor that we can follow. In Romans 15:4, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. I love studying the Old Testament. Chris had a fantastic lesson this morning for Dagon with the statue falling and his head and hands getting cut off, and they still wanted to say how great he was. We can learn from that. We can learn how easily idolatry can come into our lives, how it can ruin people, how it ruined the audience Jeremiah was speaking to. They put something before God. We can learn the damage that that can do and the damage it can do for eternity if we don't repent and start walking down that old path again. We see in the 119th Psalm in verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens." The word is unchanging as we serve a wonderful God who has given us His plan. If we're going to follow down that path, we're going to see signs that show love for the church. When I was in Waco, Texas, there was a church building off of I-35 that said 30-minute worship. That was their go-to, was 30-minute worship. And say, are they really in it for God? That their calling card is going to be a short service. In the Metroplex, when before Lisa and I had kids and were able to go to the movies, there was always a commercial from a denomination where it had all these clever animations, and one of them said, "It's okay to laugh in church." Which I don't disagree. But if your calling card is to for people to show up and laugh, you're missing the path. It's okay to laugh, but the center of what we do needs to be the Word of God. The center of what we do needs to be a love for the church. Not the love of convenience. Not the love of doing what I want to do. Not the love of self. But the love of those who are around us. As Hebrews 10:25 says, "Not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We see a love for the church in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. The day of Pentecost had just happened. 3,000 had been obedient to the gospel, taking on Christ in baptism. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers." You know, we often look to, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's a lesson right there. The breaking of the bread, lesson there. And the prayers, lesson there. But we often overlook the fellowship. We need to look for opportunities to be together. We need to look for opportunities to do things together, to work together, to love together, to cry together, to live together. We need to have a love for the people who are around us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, "Therefore encourage one another and build one another up just as you're doing." What a great commendation from Paul. This is what you need to do. You know what? You're doing it. We need to be a people who are known as encouragers, people who love one another, that light as we shine in the community, they're going to say those people truly love one another. They're not just punching their ticket to appease their consciences. They are coming together as people who love God and live by His Word. If we're going to go down that old path, we need to be following a sign that says love the church. And sometimes that takes going the extra mile. A sign is going to say there's a reality of heaven and hell. Many today will say that, oh, well, a loving God wouldn't put someone in a devil's hell for all eternity. We have a loving God that has given us the plan. But our God is just. Our God is just. Was given an example a few weeks back. A man told me, he said, "What if I'm on my way to be baptized and I die in a car wreck on the way there? Am I going to go to hell?" I said, "We can only go by the Bible. And the Bible says you have to be obedient." I said, "That would be between you and God." I said, "But to flip the script on you, what if before you were to take Jesus into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior, 3 seconds before that, would you go to heaven?" Also made me think of a wedding day. Wedding day. We can think about our wedding day. Beautiful bride dressed in white, coming down the aisle. The groom standing there with his best man and his groomsmen. And right before the bride gets to the altar, the groom has a heart attack and dies. Would the bride be able to get his life insurance? Would she have any rights to his possessions? She intended to marry him. Her intention was to be married. But she wasn't. If we're going to follow the plan, we have to follow it to fruition. If ifs and buts were candies and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas. But we as Christians have a responsibility to do what the Bible says. Those in the world have a responsibility to follow the path, follow the plan that has been set forth, and be it millions or billions of people, doing something wrong is not going to make God go, well, maybe I was too tough. Maybe I should expand this path. God has His expectation, and we must follow it because there are consequences, positively or negatively. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Christ was telling his disciples, I'm preparing a place for you. Stay on the path. Stay on the path so when I come back, I can take you home with me. In Romans chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, Paul wrote, He will render to each one according to his works. To those who by patience and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. Love God. Follow God. Do as God commands. And eternity is going to be amazing. But if we are self-seeking or don't obey the truth, eternity is not going to be good for us. We have to die to the self-seeking. We have to die to our choices pertaining to the Bible. If God says to do something, we got to do it. No more and no less. In Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, we see what the next sign would say, that there is value in the human soul. There is value of the human soul. When I understand and am constantly reminded that you have a soul, that the decisions that I make could adversely affect you and take you off the path, I'm going to walk a straighter line. In Mark 8, verses 36 and 37, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? Our soul is the most precious thing that we have. We need to be first and foremost protecting that to ensure where we'll spend our eternity. And as we go down that path, a sign that we're going to see is that Jesus is going to return. There is a pending return of Christ. Matthew 16, 27, for the Son of Man is going to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay each person according to what he has done. Brothers and sisters and friends, let it be for good. 2 Corinthians 5, 10, for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or whether evil. We need to live every day like we're going to get to see Jesus. That He is going to return. That we're going to let our lights shine as we walk down this path. This old path. Without the bells and whistles and the gimmickry. This pathway of obedience. If we see those signs, we're on the proper path. We also have to understand there's a purity of the pathmaker. It's easy for people to try to drag God down to their level. There's a book we had to read in school written by Wayne Jackson about the human body and how intricate our bodies are. And there was an atheist that said if he had been the creator of mankind, that he would have had wheels on our hands. Yeah, I'm for real. Wheels on his hands and a zipper on his side. So if there had to be surgery, a surgeon could just open the zipper and work on what needed to be worked on. And somebody drew a picture of what this atheist said that we were going to look like. And it's pretty ridiculous. Imagine a car mixed with a person with a zipper on the side and a dopey grin. That's what it looked like. We can't drag God down to our level and say, well, if I were God, this is what I would have done. We're not God. His ways aren't our ways. We're in a position of submission, following His mission. Isaiah 6:3, and one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. God is pure. Heaven is going to be pure. If sin separates us from God, how could a just God allow souls full of unrepented sin into heaven? God then wouldn't be just. We have to follow the path. And on that path is signs that the purity of our path maker is important. We look to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your mind for action. Action. And being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is the beauty of the shed blood of Christ. When I come in contact with that, my sins are washed away and I am white and pure. I'm in a right standing to be in eternity with the Father through no work of my own, but through a loving God that sent His Son to die for us. If we want to spend an eternity with the path maker, we must be pure. We must strive for purity. That planned path created by the path maker, now that's a rewarding path. James chapter 1 and verse 12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love Him. Continue to fight. Continue to push forward. Temptation can be awful. We've got to run from it. If you need a friend to talk to you, to work with, if you need brothers or sisters in Christ, if you need wisdom, seek those who are learned. We've got elders who love the congregation here, who truly shepherd the flock. If you are struggling with temptation or sin, come to them. I've been here for about a year and a half now, and not once have I seen our elders pull a gun on anyone during a meeting. Not once. They've always addressed those who they're meeting with love and with care for their souls. That's admirable. If you're struggling, do whatever it takes to get on the path. If you are hurting, get the help that you need. There's no shame in saying, I need help. Here at North Jefferson, if you're hurting, let us help. Do whatever it takes to be right with God so that we can follow down that rewarding path. Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul realized the writing was on the wall. His end was near. Thus he said, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Those who've loved His appearing are obedient to what He has said. Paul wasn't just talking about himself. Paul wasn't writing it on his own behalf. Paul was writing this for us. We can glean from this. Paul had confidence. We can have confidence in walking down the right path as well. I love this verse. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, "And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading cloud of glory, crown of glory." Not going to fade. The chief shepherd here is a culmination of two different Greek words. And this is the only time that it's pulled together. But Jesus called Himself the Good Shepherd. The chief shepherd. I love that. When Jesus returns, if we have followed down this rewarding path, we're going to have an unfading crown of glory in eternity with God. The conclusion of our lesson. I want you to remember Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And while Jeremiah was writing to people who are under a different law than we are, telling them to stay with the old paths, and those people refused, it led to their captivity. If we don't follow the path that God has set forth in the New Testament, it's going to lead to damnation. We have a path maker. Almighty God, He has, through great beauty, laid a path for us so that we can understand and follow it. It wasn't a haphazard plan. It was a planned path, beautifully fulfilled through prophecy. And His path is eternally rewarding. When we follow the path that has been established, we'll have the best reward in the history of ever. An eternity with God the Father. If you're not right with God, do what it takes to get right with God. If you're not a Christian, become one today, as the Bible says to follow down that path. Don't listen to the paths that jut out to the left and to the right that say things like, say a sinner's prayer, or pray five times on a prayer mat, or just live good so in your next life you might be a cow. We have to follow what the Bible says. God has done His part. We follow that path. We must hear the Word. We must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, prophesied throughout the Old Testament to come to fruition with 100% accuracy. We must repent of our sins, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and being immersed into the watery grave of baptism, as Romans 6 verses 3 and 4 state, to walk in a newness of life. And then we have to remain faithful. We work together as a family, doing the will of God, walking down the same path arm in arm. If you're not a Christian, I encourage you to become one. If you are and you're struggling, please don't hesitate to get right with God as we stand and as we sing.